Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Let's jump straight in. Tech Guide. This was a real effort to push into that growing consumer space, very competitive space in Australia. Tech Guide. It does give the user plenty of options, whether you're working or viewing content on the device.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
Knowing Apple, you just don't know what to expect. Tech Guide. They've gone from taking an excellent device and they've made it even better. It's had a redesign inside and out.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide, episode 122, the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. It's great to have your company once again, and if you're a first-timer, welcome aboard. I'm Stephen Fenwick, and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au, and on this week's show, we're going to talk about the virus that can infect your iPhone from your Mac. We're going to also chat about Kogan's 65-inch 4K TV at a low, low price. And the Samsung Galaxy Note Edge is delayed yet again. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to check out the LG G-Watch R smartwatch, the Garmin Vivo Smart Fitness Tracker, and the blockbuster game Call of Duty Advanced Warfare starring Kevin Spacey. And we'll close it out with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. A packed show, so let's get cracking. Well, some alarming news if you're an Apple customer, and that was the fact that the new virus, a new piece of malware called WireLurker, was found to be able to infect iPhones. Now, it wasn't a direct route to the iPhone. It was infected, in the cases that have been seen, from a compromised Mac computer. So how it all works, WireLurker is the name of the malware. And what happens is the threat is then delivered via an app from an app store. Now, the problems occurred mainly in China, from an app store called Mayadi. Now, in China, they allow these apps to be downloaded to Mac computers, of course, and the people who did go to the trouble of downloading these apps, and from what we've been told, there have been more than 400 apps from the Mayadi store infected with WireLurker. So the scenario is this. The user downloads the app, the seemingly innocent app, to their Mac, but in the background is this WireLurker piece of malware. Now, what happens? It lays there dormant on their Mac until they connect their iPhone via a USB cable. And then that virus is then transferred across to the iPhone. It's the first known case of malware that can infect an iPhone that hasn't been jailbroken. That means that the operating system hasn't been altered or change in any way. Jailbroken, people jailbreak their phone so that it allows them to customize it a little bit more, install their own apps, their own designs. But this malware is the first of its kind that's been known to infect a normal iPhone, one that hasn't had its original operating system altered, which is a real worry. But what happens when the malware does get on board the iPhone is that the malware then starts installing various apps. And the apps then try to access things like your personal information, tries to install other apps, like security conscious apps that you'd normally be worried about, like things like banking apps or transfer apps. So it then tries to install its own version of these apps on your iPhone. So a real worry. And as I mentioned, mainly a problem seen in China. More than 350,000 apps have been downloaded to Macs, and then subsequently people have connected their iPhone to their computer, and that's then been transferred to the iPhone. But one thing to keep in mind, it is very easy to safeguard yourself against this. So while it may sound alarming, there is an easy way around it. Now, any Mac user will be able to find in their system preferences the ability to set their preferences to only allow apps from the App Store, because don't forget there's an App Store on the Mac as well as being on the iPhone. So to only allow apps installed from the Mac App Store or from recognized developers. So if you try to install a potentially dangerous app on your Mac, there is a way for your Mac to actually drop the hammer on that type of installation. So it would prevent that. Now, on the iPhone side, of course, apps can only be downloaded directly from the App Store, but the Wire Lurker kind of found a backdoor into the iPhone system being transferred through the USB cable when connected to that Mac. So there's a lot of people. Another precaution, of course, is to have internet security software. These are any internet security package worth its salt should be able to detect these malicious apps in an instant. So if you are using a Mac, and let's face it, there's a lot of people who are using Macs that are under the impression that because they have a Mac, they don't need internet software protection. They think that's only a Windows problem. Well, I've got some bad news. That's actually wrong. You should protect yourself with some internet security software. That's one precaution. And of course, just use your common sense. You set your system preferences to only accept recognized apps from identified developers, and you should be okay. But it is possible that this could spread even further. It is like a virus. It is a virus, after all. It is possible, has the potential to spread. But use common sense, take those safety precautions, and you won't be affected. Wire Lurker, it is a worry. You want to read more about it, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenning.
Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated.
All right, a change of pace here. We're going to talk about TVs, and in particular, the Kogan 65-inch 4K smart LED TV. Now, Kogan is very good at producing products that offer a similar experience to a more expensive product at a much cheaper price. Now, in this case, last week we spoke about the action camera, which for a $159 product was pretty good value, did the job. Not quite GoPro quality, of course, but for those who can't afford a GoPro, the Kogan is a good alternative. And similarly, in this case, the 65-inch 4K TV is really falls in the same bracket. And for those people who can't afford a Samsung or a Sony or a Panasonic or an LG ultra-high definition 4K TV, then the Kogan is an alternative. It does offer the same resolution, 3840 by 2160, which is four times the resolution of a normal full high-definition television. But the kicker here is this Kogan 65-inch Agora TV, the 4K TV, is only $1,599, which is vastly cheaper from the opposition. We're talking Samsung, Panasonic, LG, Sony having TVs priced up to four to five times as much as that. But I think what we failed to mention here, what was not in the Kogan press release, was the fact that there are other alternatives, cheaper alternatives in the form of companies like TCL, Haier, Hisense. There are a number of Chinese manufacturers who offer 4K at a similarly low price. Fair enough, the Kogan price is probably the lowest, but there are alternatives in the market, and to make Kogan's figures, their pricing look even cheaper, they created a graph, which I reproduced on my story on Tech Guide, that only compared the Kogan TV to those larger, the big four, Samsung, Panasonic, LG, and Sony. So I think comparing apples with apples, you're not quite doing that with a Kogan TV compared to, say, a Samsung. You got to remember that Kogan TVs offer value over quality. There is quality for what you pay for. And if you put a Kogan TV side by side next to, say, a Samsung TV or a Sony, you will instantly see the difference in quality. That's one of the reasons why the TV is offered at a cheaper price. So Now, look, if that doesn't fuss you, if you're happy just to have a big picture, you want to have 4K, although there's not much 4K. There is, in fact, no 4K content around. But if you do want to have that kind of future-proofing your purchase and you want to pay a cheaper price for a bigger screen, a lot of people, it's out of their budget being able to afford one of those larger, more expensive brands. But I use the car analogy often when I'm talking about Kogan, comparing them to these other brands. That, you know, you can choose to buy a Hyundai or you can choose to drive a Mercedes-Benz. They both kind of do the same thing. One is just a little bit better quality than the other, or a lot better quality than the other. But ultimately, as I said, they both do a similar thing. So if you want to check out the TV a little more closely, you can do that at techguide.com.au. Now, we've got some news around the Samsung Galaxy Note Edge. Now, we spoke about the Galaxy Note 4, and it has been already released. And it was released last week and after a one-week delay. But now the Galaxy Note Edge, which was also delayed a week, has now been put back another 2 weeks. So we're not going to be seeing the Galaxy Note Edge until November 25. Now, this is the smartphone with a curved edge. Now, we saw this for the first time at IFA in Berlin back in August. The pictures on Tech Guide are actually the picture of the device is actually in my hand, the curved right edge, hence the name, the Note Edge, has that curved right edge of the screen. And what that basically serves as is a kind of a dock system where you can have your apps. It's also a place where you can see your notifications scrolling in. If you're watching a movie, for example, or enjoying some content, the notifications can scroll across the top of that curved edge, which kind of is its own screen without disturbing the main screen. The Galaxy Note Edge has a 5.5-inch screen. It doesn't. Yes, it does have an S Pen, just like the Note, but the Note Edge has that curved right-hand side, which acts, as I said, as its own little mini screen. Now, I wanted to also talk about, of course, the Galaxy Note 4, this device's cousin, which was released last week. We've reviewed that on Tech Guide. It is a 5.7-inch device, and in the grand scheme of things, when the first Galaxy Note arrived in the market, it was one of the first devices that really decided to go big. It had a large screen, 5.3-inch screen from memory, the first device. This is back when iPhone had only a 3.5-inch screen. So this gargantuan Note from Samsung was just remarkably big, and that was the first thing people spoke about when they saw it. Well, fast forward another 4 years, and the Galaxy Note 4 has arrived, but people are this time commenting more on the quality of the product, the design of the product, and not the fact that it has such a large screen. It has a larger screen, in fact, as the iPhone 6 Plus, yet the Galaxy Note 4 is slightly shorter. So I think the new normal we're seeing here, a large screen device, I think it's the lower end of that. The new average is, I think, around the 4.75-inch size, and anything above 5.5, then you're in your phablet territory, your phone/tablet territory, the Note 4 definitely playing in that space. The product is very well designed. That was one complaint of previous Samsung devices, was the fact that they didn't quite have that build quality. They felt a little plastic. Well, I think Samsung's more than addressed that with the Note 4. It does have a great feel, has got a metal band and a textured leather rear panel, so you do really feel the quality in your hands. It has the S Pen, of course, which does a lot more, is a lot more versatile with this version, can act like a mouse, has an even better pressure sensitivity if you're drawing pictures, sketching, writing. The S Pen is a real great addition to this device. I recommend this for anyone who wants to multitask on the go. This has both the performance and the screen and the S Pen to allow that to happen. What's held people back is the size of their screen might be too small, but the ability for this device to perform, to multitask, to run two apps at the same time, really helps with that productivity. And if you're a road warrior and needs to get work done on the go, then the Galaxy Note 4 can really serve you well. If you want to read both about the Galaxy Note Edge delay and also our Galaxy Note 4 review, you know you can check that out at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. But you need to ask yourself the question, how many Wi-Fi devices do you have at home? We've got our laptops and tablets, iPads, smartphones, gaming consoles, smart TVs, music streamers. I can go on and on. The list does go on and on. And if you're like the average Aussie home, you probably have 10 or more devices that are all connected to your Wi-Fi network. Well, now's the time to upgrade your home network to next generation AC Wi-Fi from Netgear and get the best experience from all your gadgets and all your devices. When you upgrade to AC, that's 802.11ac Wi-Fi, you'll enjoy video and music streaming with no buffering, more reliable Wi-Fi connectivity and coverage, faster downloading of websites, videos and email attachments, and much more. So check out Netgear's range of next generation AC Wi-Fi products, and we're talking products like modems, the Nighthawk X6, routers, range extenders. You can check it out at netgear.com.au and do more with your devices this summer.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick. Tech Guide.
Righto, our first review is of the new LG G Watch R, the new smartwatch from LG. They did release a smartwatch just a few short months ago. Back in July, we saw the G Watch, their original effort, one of the first devices to run the Android Wear operating system. Well, they are back with an even better product. The G Watch R has a circular OLED screen. So at first glance, people are going to think this is a watch. The problem with smartwatches in the past is it was obvious they were a smartwatch. Well, with the G Watch R, it actually has that classic styling, the round face, and it does really look like a classic watch. Now, it has is the 3.5 wide circular OLED screen, which when displaying hour hand, second hand, and minute hand. It does actually look like a real watch. So people are going to be looking at this. It happened to me. People looked at my watch, and then when a notification came in, they saw the screen change. They went, what the hell is that? And I had to explain to them that this is actually a smartwatch, and a pretty clever one at that. Now, it has this traditional look, but it also has all the technology under the hood. Now, what LG has also done here is, from the design perspective, it's obviously made of diamond-cut brushed metal construction. It's also got a PVD coating, so looks pretty stylish. It's also got a leather strap. Now, with this time out, the leather strap is interchangeable. It's the standard 22mm size that watch straps actually come in. So what you can do is actually change the bands to suit your style. So if you have a more colorful band, you may want to have a metallic band, keep the leather band. It's up to you, but the choices are there. So rather than LG having to supply specific smartwatch band or watch bands for the device, they decided to make the product for it to fit in with the vast watch ecosystem that's already out there. So if you do want to change the band, you can get any band with the standard 22mm connection there to attach to the G Watch R. Now, from a technical perspective, that OLED screen is quite clear. We did have a little bit of difficulty in sunlight reading the screen. There's 4 gig of storage on board and 512 meg of RAM. Now, it's also got a 410 milliamp hour battery. So if you're running the device in full screen mode, so in always on mode, so you'll be able to look at the time, it'll always be displayed and just increase in brightness when you turn your wrist to glance at the time. If you are using it in that mode, the battery will last about a day and a half, which I think is pretty impressive. But if you do decide that you're happy to have the screen dimmed all the time and the screen only becomes active when you turn your wrist to tell the time, then the battery will last a couple of days. It is saving that extra battery from having the screen turned off when not in use. One frustration we had with that, though, we did start out in that mode, but when we did turn our wrist to see the time, it did sometimes take a couple of seconds for the screen to react. We had to give our wrist a little bit of a shake to kick things along. That only happened a few times, but enough times for us to think, you know what, we need to change the mode so that the screen is always illuminated. And, of course, being Android Wear, it connects to any Android device and connects with Bluetooth and will bring things like text message notifications, emails, any social media notifications. So on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those notifications come through to the watch. There's also a constant stream of new apps being created, so that extends the experience even further. You can the best input for the device, because obviously there's no keyboard, but because being run by Google, you simply talk to it. You say, okay, Google, and this up comes the screen. You can ask it any question. It will go out and do a Google search and return the results either to the watch face, or you can open that on the smartphone it is attached to. And as I said, attached to any LG, no, sorry, not any Android phone. Doesn't have to be an LG phone for it to have that connection. Now, it also has on the back a heart rate sensor. So not only is it a device for your notifications and all those things, but it can also be used for fitness. So it counts your steps. It can also take your heart rate as well. There are a little light sensor on the bottom. What it does is it actually shoots a light into the wrist, into your skin on your wrist. And what it does, it can actually measure the blood flow by the light being shot into your wrist. So it does provide a pretty accurate heart rate. So no need to wear those silly straps around your chest. You can have your heart rate taken from your LG G Watch R. So yes, it's also waterproof, of course, can go to a depth of a meter, has an IP rating, that's an ingress protection rating of 67, so it's also dustproof as well. Comes with its own little charging stand. Battery lasted, as I said, about a day and a half, and the good news is it can be recharged fully in a couple of hours, less than a couple of hours, so you'd be ready to go. So that sort of thing you might leave on your nightstand overnight, and first thing in the morning you've got a full charge. Pricing-wise, it's $359, so you are paying top dollar for a quality watch. I've reviewed it on Tech Guide. I'd love you to read it to see all of my thoughts, as well as my star rating out of 5 at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
While we're on the wearable bandwagon here, we'll continue that theme with our next product for review, and that's the Garmin VivoSmart Activity Tracker. Now, this is a wristband similar to the Jawbone, but with one difference. This has an OLED screen built in, but you can't see the screen until it has something to display. So if there's nothing to display, it looks like a plain black band on your wrist. When you get a notification, that is when the screen lights up and shines through the plastic, and you're able to very easily read it. Garmin, a very well-known company for producing a lot of devices, like even GPS watches, fitness watches. So this is right in their backyard, this sort of product, the VivoSmart Activity Tracker. It does have that little OLED screen, as I mentioned, connects to any device, any smartphone with Bluetooth, be it an iPhone, Android device, even a Windows device, whatever you've got, you can connect to the VivoSmart. You could also download the Kinect app to your smartphone, or you can glance it on your browser, set up an account, and you'll be able to see your steps, your sleep, calories burned, all that information. You can even be motivated and earn badges, set challenges for yourself and your friends. So it really keeps track of your activities, your sleep, and all that information. If you want to go to the trouble, you can enter the food you've eaten, so you get a complete rundown of what you're doing. The band is quite comfortable to wear. It's got an adjustable strap, so it does clip on your wrist quite nicely, and is very light. You don't even know it's there. One thing we found, though, is trying to read the screen sideways. We thought we found ourselves turning our arm to straighten it up more horizontally so we could read it a little easier. It's very hard to read sideways sometimes, especially when you're looking at a text message or an email that's come through. One thing I liked, though, is that it did provide those notifications, gave you a little buzz on the wrist when these new notifications came in. It also was very handy. I carry my pocket in my phone in my back pocket. And in a noisy environment, say maybe a shopping center or somewhere, and it's noisy, I can't hear my phone ringing. I can't even feel it vibrating sometimes. But what the Vivo Smart allows you to do is feel that vibration on your wrist to tell you there's an incoming call, and then you know then that you need to pick up your smartphone and answer it. So very handy for that. Battery is very impressive too. Battery runs for 7 days. Which is pretty handy. You don't want to have to charge these things every day. Kind of defeats the purpose. You want to sort of set it and forget it. And it is also waterproof, so you can go into the shower, go swimming, do whatever you like. And after 7 days, you can charge it up. But in the meantime, it's been gathering all that information that you are so keen to collect through the app. The Garmin Vivo Smart, $199. But if you are looking for a fitness band, then I think the Garmin Vivo Smart should be near the top of your list. I think it's one of the best on the market. You're listening to Tech Guide. Now, the game of the year, in my opinion, has been released. That's Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. Now, anyone who knows me knows that I'm a big Call of Duty fan, been playing Call of Duty for years now. I do particularly like this game, especially the online portion of the game. I'm a big player fan of the multiplayer mode. But I think this time out, Call of Duty, there was a lot of pressure on Call of Duty, the whole franchise, to produce. Brand new developer, brand new publisher, Sledgehammer Games, have been working for 3 years to bring this to us. Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. Now, Call of Duty is a massive, massive franchise. And we're talking a franchise that can make more than $1 billion in just a few days. Bigger than any movie, bigger than any book or TV show. This is the biggest entertainment title ever. And with that in mind, I think it does have the kind of clout to attract big name stars. Now, this time around, we're talking Kevin Spacey in the lead role. He plays Jonathan Irons, who's the head of Atlas, a private military corporation. Now, the game is called Advanced Warfare for a reason. It's set in the year 2054, is the year it starts. So there is plenty of technology on display when it comes to weaponry and warfare. So a very interesting story. Kevin Spacey it's like watching a movie of Kevin Spacey. The motion capture is so good. Even with the other characters, it's so realistic. The most realistic motion capture characters I've seen on the screen. So the whole storyline really moves along at a nice pace. It does introduce some new things, though. It does tick all the boxes for Call of Duty fans, including obviously being a first-person shooter, some great weapons, great maps, great storyline. But there are some new features. Mainly the gameplay is changed with the exoskeleton, the gives that really amplifies your powers as a soldier. We're talking high jumps up to second-story windows and floors. It gives you added strength. So it does really turn everyone into a super soldier, and that really comes into play as well in the multiplayer portion of the game too. So it really adds to that whole gameplay. So kind of gives you the best of Call of Duty with the few add-ons that make it stand out from the previous title. Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. I highly rate this game. Even if you're new to the game, to even gaming in general, it is worth checking out, because having a name like Kevin Spacey involved, it does kind of open this up to quite a broad audience who may pick up this game because of that he's in it, and experience something that is truly like a Hollywood blockbuster that you happen to be right in the middle of and taking control of what you're doing in the game. It's one of the first games, I think, that's kind of crossed the line there, where it's as much a movie as it is a game, and it's enjoyable no matter what you're doing or watching. Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. Check out my review and my star rating at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Yeah. Answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Now, we had an interesting question sent to us here at Tech Guide. It was about a person wanting to connect to enable their TV with Bluetooth. Now, they've got obviously Bluetooth speakers that they want to wirelessly send the signal from the TV to a Bluetooth speaker. Perhaps they want the sound a little bit closer to them. And they asked me, how do you do it? Because a TV doesn't normally have Bluetooth. It does have Wi-Fi, but how do you add Bluetooth to your television? Well, it's actually very it's easier than you think. There are a number of wireless adapters or Bluetooth dongles that can connect to a TV. And what that does, it creates a Bluetooth connection to that TV. So device connects to the Bluetooth adapter or dongle, which is attached to the TV, so the signal is passed through. So if you want to hear your TV sound, for example, and you've got a Bluetooth dongle, you attach that dongle, the speakers then pair with that dongle, and then so that's a way of streaming music using Bluetooth from your TV. You want to search, I think Kogan has a Bluetooth product, an audio dongle. You do a search on eBay, there's a lot of these Bluetooth dongles available as well. So if you do want to utilize those nice Bluetooth speakers you happen to own, you might want to position the speaker a little closer to you, you might want to hear it a little bit better. Good news is you can do that. Plenty on eBay. Check out Kogan. But the Bluetooth dongle brings your TV into the 21st century. So you can use those Bluetooth speakers. And there are lots of them. Plenty of those on the market. You can now use them with your TV. And that's our show for another week. Everything we've spoken about, though, you can read all about it at techguide.com.au. And if you want to get in touch, please email us info@techguide.com.au. You can also check out our forum. We pluck our help desk suggestions from those two places. Special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. It's been great having your company once again. We look forward to you joining us again next week. But until then, stay safe and stay connected.